Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 10. Ecclesiastes 10, the whole chapter has to do with folly or foolishness, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 7 this evening, and we'll continue, Lord willing, next Lord's Day, the rest of the passage. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1, before we read God's Word, let's pray to the Lord and ask for His blessing upon us. Father, again, as we just sang, as we hear Your voice by Your Spirit, let us not harden our hearts to Your Word, but hearken unto You. Grant us ears to hear and eyes to see Your Son, for we long to see Your Son, even here in Your Word. And so teach us Your ways and show us Him, even through wisdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1, these are God's words. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. He also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to every one that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Those are God's words. Well, Solomon, you remember, set out to find the truth, in which after going through all his experiences and study, he determined vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Everything under the sun, on the earth, is worthless, it's futile, it's corrupt, it's a waste. Because in the end, what happens to everything? You try to pull all of that in, take in under the sun, and the pleasures and the entertainments and the things and everything that you have, whether you're rich or poor, whatever it is. At the end, everyone under the sun that is on the earth, everyone dies. The same result for every single person. And so it's vanity of vanity, all is vanity. And so we've been called time and time again to look above the sun. Look to Jesus Christ, for in Him alone do we find true meaning, true value, true purpose, true hope, etc. In Him alone is found life forever and ever. And Solomon has sought after wisdom. He also, remember, sought wisdom through folly a couple chapters ago. And in searching in that way, he did find folly, and he's in this book, he's repenting of his folly after he entered into folly and vanities. But he's experienced these things, and he's calling us to turn from those vanities, the vanities of this world, because it doesn't end well. There's no end to the one who seeks the vanities and pleasures of the world under the sun, only to die, and that die forever. And so he's helped us, and he's given us remedies to put off the vanities. And all of that is encompassed, as we've learned thus far, in wisdom. So instead of putting on folly, to put on wisdom. The remedy is wisdom, put on wisdom, which again is only found above the sun in the Lord, personified in Christ Jesus in the gospel. and throughout the Scriptures. Come and look above the sun to Christ and be blessed with wisdom. Only those who truly look above the sun attain true wisdom. And so only Christians truly have and gain wisdom. This evening in the passage before us, the preacher calls us to consider folly, the foolishness and the effects of folly, what they are. The first point, folly destroys a good name. Folly destroys a good name. Verse 1, it says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So like the proverb, Solomon began at the end of the last chapter, and he continues those little proverbs here. And he gives us an illustration at the beginning of the verse to make the point of the second half of the verse that much more visual to our hearts. The illustration, the picture, gives us understanding of the meaning. One sinner destroys much good, as one dead fly spoils a whole container of precious ointment. That's valuable ointment. 2 Kings 20 says, and Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. If you remember that even from Chronicles. All the precious things, and then naming it again, precious ointment. That's how precious ointment is. It's up there with the gold and the silver and all they had in all the kingdom of Judah. But dead flies in the ointment destroy the ointment, corrupts it, taints it. Even a very precious perfume destroyed. In the same way, if you mix a little folly and indiscretion, that will tarnish and corrupt the reputation of one who in other areas may be very wise and honored and respected. And yet we've already learned, chapter 7, a good name is better than precious ointment. And here he's talking about a good name. He uses the illustration of this ointment, this precious ointment. He says a good name is better than a precious ointment. And so a good name is tarnished by one little error. One act of folly can destroy your name, your honor, and you'll be disrespected for perhaps even the rest of your life under the sun on this earth. This is why so often we're called to walk blamelessly in the Scriptures. For even as Christians, perhaps more so as Christians, this is true. The wicked world often overlooks the folly of the wicked. But in their enmity, the world's enmity and hostility against the church and against the righteous, they will never overlook our folly, beloved. Not only that, but our folly tarnishes not only our name, but brings judgment upon the name of the Lord. Tarnishes the name of Jesus Christ. It hardens, and because it tarnishes His name and brings something against His name, it causes people to be hardened in their hearts against Jesus because of what we did. And so if you act out in folly, perhaps you get angry, overly angry, you yell at somebody, and they're hardened against you, and now hardened against the message that they know you proclaim, and therefore hardened against Christ, at least under the sun. The folly of the righteous affects our gospel witness to the watching world. Remember Genesis 34. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me. And I shall be destroyed, I and my house. Why must we keep away from folly, foolishness? For the Lord's good name, beloved. Philippians 2. that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He's talking about the having a good name. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. That the name, why do we do that? That the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Servants of the Lord, let our masters count us worthy of all honor. One act of folly destroys and blasphemes the name of God. Why should you keep looking above the sun, pursuing holiness in life? 1 Peter 2, it says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. But a little leaven, beloved, a little folly, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Look at the language here, the dead flies, the illustration. These are flies of death, flies that cause plagues, like the locusts who are called death in the plagues of Egypt and Exodus. They are poisonous flies. And that's what your folly is, death, the bringer of plagues. Folly plagues your good name, Christian. It's the opposite of wisdom, which brings life. Wisdom brings life, folly brings death. Folly is under the sun living. And we're being called to above the sun living in Christ, which means wisdom. The more we seek after the Lord, the more we seek after wisdom, the more carefully we need to be, because a little folly, some indiscretion, some foolish word spoken, just one word spoken, will destroy your reputation and destroy the witness of the gospel. Just as if you were wearing some clothing of all white, the smallest speck of dirt is noticeable. People see it. And so, beloved, folly destroys a good name. So you're being called to look above the sun to the Lord and Jesus Christ, who turns us from all folly. He desires us to have a good name, so that it would be an honor to His name. And a good reputation before a watching world. That's why elders have to have a good reputation before the world. That the gospel and our testimony of the gospel not be hindered. And so seek first the kingdom by pursuing wisdom and not folly above the sun. The second point this evening, folly destroys man's actions. Folly destroys man's actions. Verse 2. It says, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to every one that he is a fool. What is the right hand? The right hand, generally speaking, is the most fit, ready for action, the one that holds one sword, right? As most people are right-handed, the hand that performs what it needs to most surely. This is what makes the point in Jesus' sermon all the more shocking when he says, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast in hell. Even if it means get rid of that dominant hand, dominant eye, that's what he's kind of saying there, it's worth it to get off sin. But what does it mean? A wise man's heart is at his right hand. A wise man's heart is ready. He's prepared for every good work and whatever circumstances come. Whatever comes, the wise man responds and lives with clear and true judgment and purpose. He weighs advice. He deliberates upon the circumstances. He considers the consequences of what he will do and say and think. Here's the wise man. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. The second part of that is the folly of the fool. The first part of that is the wisdom, one who sits down and considers it all. He considers, he thinks through the whole. But a fool's heart at his left, it says. The fool is going to do the opposite in his heart than the wise man. He's not going to consider, he's not going to plan, he's not going to weigh advice, he's not going to deliberate, he's not going to think upon the consequences of whatever he says, thinks, or does. And we just read, the fool is the one who can sometimes be the dreamer type of person. Lots of great ideas perhaps, and seemingly good ideas, and then never finishes the project. Never follows through. Or if he goes to finish the project, his heart is absent in it, and his hand does something different and destructive than he planned to do. The wise man commands his heart, but the fool is commanded by what? Not his heart, but by his passions, his emotions. He's all over the place, right? The fool is. Can you fall into struggling with keeping your name honored and good before people, the world? Yeah, of course we can. The same here, the Christian, all of you can struggle with being led by your emotions and passions. And so Solomon calls you to put off this type of folly. One theologian put it this way for the fool. A fool is transported with passion, amazed at difficulties, perplexed with uncertainties, at his wit's end, and knows not what to resolve or which way to move. In fact, he conducts himself and his affairs as awkwardly and indecorously as a man would do whose right hand was tied behind him, and who had only the assistance of his left hand. Proverbs 2 says this, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Plenty of examples in Scripture of wisdom applied, like Jacob and Joseph, Paul, etc. Won't go into those. We hear those more often. Numbers 14 is an example of folly. It says, and they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites, the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword. Because ye are turned away from the Lord, and therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. And nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that which symbolizes the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses, their mediator, who points us to Christ, presence of the Lord and Moses, departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and this confitted them even unto Hormah. Right? They're just come out of Mount Sinai, going out into the wilderness, and they say, let's go up into the promised land. And the Lord's not with them. And it's not time for them. The 40 years has not passed yet. The Lord's not with them. Moses warned them, don't go up. Moses, the mediator between God and man, warned them not to go up. The Ark of the Covenant wasn't with them. The presence of the Lord wasn't with them. And what they said, decide, well, we need to get into the Promised Land, right? Sometimes Christians can be very zealous for what seems good to get home. But it wasn't the right time. That's folly, what they did. Remember Rehoboam in 1 Kings 12. Right after he became king and he's listening to the counsel of the old men, then he's listening to the counsel of his friends. It says, but he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. That folly, listening to the younger and not those wise counselors, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, instead of being united together. And that caused many problems later on, of course. Even the couple exiles, the loss of the Ark of the Covenant, which was destroyed. And we can go on and on with the consequences of that one act of folly by Rehoboam. Verse 3, it says, yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him. And he saith to everyone that he's a fool. The fool's wisdom fails him not only in his private actions and what he undertakes to do, but with everyone around him, in his motions, gestures, his behavior, his countenance, everything affecting everyone around him. If he's a fool, if he does not look above the sun, if he's not a Christian, then as he walks, his wisdom, his quote-unquote wisdom, will fail him. And that shows forth to everyone that he's a fool. To the fool, the one filled with pride, to him, the fool, others much wiser than he appear as fools. To the fool, the wise appear as fools. The fool proclaims, though, his folly. A prudent man, Proverbs says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Again, the book of Proverbs says, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. The book of Jude, since we don't often go to Jude, Jude says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit wherewith without fruit, or wherein it withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The people who don't look above the sun, that's a description of them. They look only under the sun, the vanities of this world. That's what he's talking about there, if we were to summarize. And he's saying, these are fools. This is what happens if you love folly and enter into folly and keep going into it. All those who do not look above the sun, who are not Christians, are fools. And yet with our remaining sin Christians, we often cease looking above the sun ourselves, don't we? Focusing under the sun, playing the part of a fool, even though we're not fools. We act like fools. And it destroys our actions, it destroys our works, and they come to nothing. Not only bringing ruin upon our name, the name of Christ, but all that we've worked for and served Christ for, and are seeking first His kingdom, all that we worked and served for, bringing it to nothing. Sometimes. And so what is the remedy to this continued and remaining folly? It's the same for the outright fool who is still in his sins. Look above the sun. Turn unto Christ. Turn to His Word and hear Him speak to you from the Scriptures. Believe what He says. Don't Harden your hearts again. Believe what He says. Meditate upon His Word day and night. Meditate. That is like a mumbling. Think upon His Word. Dwell upon it. Dwell upon what it says. Consider the ramifications. If you read one verse, consider the ramifications of that verse. Of His promises. If it's a command, to keep that command. Obey that command. Believe that He'll keep you in keeping that command. And what are the consequences if I don't keep that command? And what are the consequences if I do keep that command? And keep thinking, meditating upon the verse and the effects of it and the ramifications of it. And if you do that and apply His Word to your life, you will grow in wisdom. And you'll turn more and more from your folly. The third point this evening, folly is unnecessarily rebellious. Folly is unnecessarily rebellious. Verse 4. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. The sword comes from the civil ruler against you. The fool says, I will rebel no matter what. This is what many Americans would do today, at least according to what they say. And we've seen some rebellion against the magistrate for laws that are made ourselves in our lives. And people rise up against the magistrate for any reason they don't like. And you're coming against my freedoms. You know, that's what we say. You're coming up against my freedoms. When the reality is that the only freedom a Christian can have is that freedom from sin to follow after the Lord. Outside of this, there is no guaranteed freedoms under the sun. We often pour forth our Americanness into the Bible, reading into the Bible how we've been raised. In the Scripture, what is not there. People move to the country so they can do what they want. And some of those things that they do, and that part's okay. Some of those things they want to do are foolish. Great evils exist. Folly, where people have more freedom. So then when a ruler comes and he tries to disrupt and that once granted freedom that you had at one time by the government, the fool, no matter what, will rise up and he'll make a fuss. And he might act on that, even against the magistrate who's right there and right before them. And some people rebel, and they go right out in the faces of the magistrates and they break that new law or whatever it is, just to say, nope, you're not going against my freedoms. We go back to Romans 13. That even from a wicked ruler, one that hasn't covenanted with Christ, for the most part we ought to seek to live peaceably with all men, with the magistrate. There are times of necessary rebellion. There are times of necessary rebellion. But where it is unnecessary, we ought to yield. That's what he's teaching us here. When they're unnecessary, we ought to yield. Because even when the magistrate oversteps their bounds, which they do all the time, because they're fallen, and their governments, because they have power given to them by God, by the way, but they have power, and so they abuse that power, just like any wicked people would do with authority or power in this world. And they bring offense to you. Here he says, yielding, for the most part, yielding pacifies the sword. Yielding pacifies the ruler. When these things happen, don't be shaken from your steadfastness in the Lord. He sits enthroned in the heavens. He's our mediatorial king. This is not outside of His will. Don't be removed from your place or from your duty. Great passions arise when governments do things that are errors. But we've been told already, don't be led by your passions. That's what fools do. If the government's wrath comes against you, even unjustly to your hurt, remember Potiphar against Joseph. Remember Saul against David. Remember Laban against Jacob. Remember even Paul against the church. Here he says, leave not thy place. Continue, that is, in your calling. Do not, through fear or despair, turn from that which the Lord has called you to. Let's imagine for a moment that we're in California, which we have opinions about, and we're ministering there. Put yourself as someone who's called by the Lord to be an elder of a church, something like that. Well, here comes the government and the ruler, and they say, can't worship anymore. Or they come in, they do something against... Not, don't use that example. Use another example. They come in and take your freedoms, just like people in California. The government in California does, right? Outside of the church. But you're called to be there because God has called you to be there. Does that mean we run away? No, the Lord has called you to be there. There are times of prudent withdrawing from a storm that wisdom sees coming. It might be wise at times to withdraw from a storm you see coming, as Jacob fled from Esau, as David fled from Saul, as Elijah fled from Jezebel, as Christ even fled from Herod. Let's take an example. When you're pulled over by police, perhaps, that happens to most of us at times, then be humble and yield to the ticket you receive. You don't argue it then and there or escalate the situation, do you? We've seen countless times when people do that, and it always doesn't go very well. It goes from good or whatever situation to bad real quick. Take it. Wisdom says, take it to court. Perhaps it means a suffering of paying the fine, even if you weren't guilty. Maybe they saw another car and that car was speeding or whatnot. You take it to court. But it's foolish to escalate the situation then and there. Be courteous. Humble. 1 Peter 2. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Respond not by looking under the sun with passions and judgments. Respond with humility, looking above the sun to the King of Kings who reigns and rules over all. Our hope is not here on this earth that we would not suffer here, that we would not endure struggle here, even with our magistrate. Our hope is not here. It's above the sun. And so when we think upon our government and our rulers, keep that in mind. And this type of wisdom has a healing nature to it. Yielding, he says, humility, not being led to folly and passions, can de-escalate a situation, can pacify, it says, the magistrate's great offenses. Verse 5, it says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Yep. The ruler has many errors. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. These are the vanities that we've heard before. The rich in a low place. Servants exalted. Princes as servants. You think of Nebuchadnezzar. A king made low. Verse 5, the folly is the ruler and great heir. And that happens all the time. But that doesn't mean, beloved, we rise up against the magistrate every single time they are in error. If that were true, we'd be at war at all times. Because they're in great error all the time. We'd be fighting them constantly. So it's a great folly, beloved, to be unnecessarily rebellious. Generally speaking, most of the time we should be seeking peace with the magistrate to give more opportunity to do what? As we seek first the kingdom of God, to minister the gospel to them. Right? If we're constantly yelling at them and protesting them, that's not going to give us those situations where we're going to be proclaiming the truth to them of the gospel. But that's what wisdom is. That's what wisdom is seeking, the opportunity to minister the gospel. And to leave our passions aside, because we are here to seek first not the kingdom of America. We're not here to seek the kingdom of our own life and our own comfort and what we think is right and our freedoms. But we are here to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And though a lot of suffering might come, He promises all these things shall be added unto you. He'll take care of all the things under the sun. And all the things above the sun He'll bless you with. Everything that we have need of. So wisdom keeps looking above the sun. Hopes in the promises given to us in Christ. And so then folly is unnecessarily rebellious. But wisdom is rebellious only when it is necessary. When is it necessary? We seek first His kingdom. And as we mentioned this morning, it's necessary to rebel against the magistrate who says you can't worship. That's why I said a moment ago that illustration that I gave was bad. Take that back. When a magistrate says you can't worship, you rebel against that. And you worship. Because God says don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves. Because He says, worship Me on the Lord's day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We think of other examples in Scripture of that wisdom, where there was rebellion against the magistrate. We think of Daniel. So we heard this morning, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think of the apostles. Think of Jesus. So as we heard about that church in Edmonton, when they put up the fence around the church building to stop you from worshiping, there's some options you can take in wisdom. What are the wise choices that church could make? You can worship somewhere else. You can go through the fence and worship in the building that God has supplied. It's an option. Or you can worship right outside the fence, in the field, and in it minister to the police who are present. The wisest might be the last option. And seeking first the kingdom. Still keeping the peace and yet seeking first His kingdom. But it might also not be peaceful, as the magistrate might interrupt the worship of God. And other people who have come might disrupt it. But the magistrate can't say you can't worship Him, the Lord. The magistrate has no such authority over the church. The magistrate can't come in and say this is what you have to do in the worship of the Lord. You can worship, but you have to worship this way. Can't do that. That's the jurisdiction of the church under the authority of Christ alone. The magistrate must rule according and under the authority of Jesus Christ. And that is not to disrupt His worship ever, but to encourage the gospel going forth by calling people to worship in the churches which preach the gospel. Folly destroys a good name, so put on wisdom. Folly destroys man's actions, so put on wisdom. Folly is unnecessarily rebellious. So put on wisdom and look above the sun to Christ. Be consumed by His word that He speaks all throughout the day, thinking upon a passage of the verse, a sermon you heard, and grow in love for Him. Turn to Christ. Love Him. Hate folly. Love wisdom. Many vanities in the world, we love to look at them, take part in them, consider them, but there's nothing in eternity in them except the eternity of destruction and punishment forever. So turn to the Lord and Christ, looking above the sun for wisdom, and Christ alone. Let's pray. Our Father, these things are very difficult for us, for it is very easy to be foolish. You are the gracious God, a God who loves us, given us of Your Spirit. Yet we often sin against You and play the part of the fool. Father, make us to be wise in Your Son. Help us to meditate upon Your law day and night, that we would grow in wisdom. And grow us in wisdom by Your Spirit, through Your Word. For Your glory, for Your name to be honored. For Your works and the Scriptures to be proclaimed. And for Your church to be upheld, Your bride. That the name of this congregation and the Church of Jesus Christ would not be dishonored through our acts of folly, but would exalt You through You working through us wisdom. Your name be exalted. Help us to seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. The things we just discussed about dealings with our magistrate are very difficult. Give us wisdom in these things. Help us in all things to be wise and not fools. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.